17. We'll read one verse there. Psalm 17 and verse 8 says this: "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." And I want to preach tonight just for a little while on the subject, under the shadow of his wings. Let's pray again. Father, thank you again for this time. I thank you now for the opportunity to preach. Pray the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. God, you know the hearts of everyone here tonight. I pray you'll search them. Lord, all the saved people, should there be anything in our life that's not pleasing to you, I pray you'll put your finger on it. God, I pray you'll convict, but I pray you'll comfort. I pray, God, you'll strengthen, you'll help. Lord, I know these people that are hurting, and I pray, God, you'll minister to them. God, should there be one here tonight lost, I pray the Holy Spirit won't let them have any rest or peace till they settle this matter with thee. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost will move up and down these aisles, and that you'll just search our hearts and minister and do what I cannot possibly do. God, you'll minister the Word of God to every individual. I thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again that we could have life. God, I thank you for loving me and saving me and calling me. And I pray now you'll hide me behind the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll use me that I can glorify him. Thank you now again for your many blessings. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." And that is a good place to be, under the shadow of his wings. Because when you're under the shadow of his wings, then you have shade, you have comfort, you're spared from the elements. You have everything you need, really, under the shadow of his wings. And if you've lived any length of time in this life, you're going to know you're going to need it. There are trials or tribulations. There are funerals. I hate to say it, but there are. There's sickness. There's bills that always more month than you have money. Life is just that way. And there's got to be a place of refuge for you and I as believers. And that refuge is under the shadow of his wings. If we can stay nigh to God, he'll stay nigh to us. And that's where you'll find your peace, your comfort, your help, your strength. Even when things are going backwards, it seems you'll be able to still endure seeing him who is invisible. So Jesus Christ is our hope. I have nothing else tonight to tell you. I'd like to give you some deep theological something or other, but I don't have it. What I have is a simple message: under the shadow of his wings. I want to say, first of all, under the shadow of his wings, you will find refuge. In Psalm 57:1, the Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And David found out through experience that he needed to be under the shadow of God's wings. I mean, here was a man that was after God's own heart. Here was a man who was obviously doing right, and the first king of Israel was not. And David had been anointed to take this man's place. And you look at the man Saul. This man Saul, the first king of Israel, he had the promises of God. He had the anointing of God. He'd been anointed to be the captain of God's host. I mean, this man had the power of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, this man was seemingly had everything going in his direction. But he had a problem. He wanted to do everything his way rather than God's way. And his disobedience cost him the throne. And you read on over later, it cost him his life. It cost his sons their life. Sin never leaves you any better than it finds you. And you think you can do wrong and get away with it, you may find out the hard way you won't. God will meet you somewhere. If it's in the middle of a wreck out here in the highway, somewhere God will meet with you. And I'm not saying everything like that happens is because of sin, but I'm saying some of it is. Your sin has separated between you and your God. It does happen that way. Now, that's not always the case. There's a man in John chapter 9 who was born blind, and it wasn't because of sin, but rather for the glory of God. So not everything bad happens to you because of sin, but there's a purpose. Lester Roloff used to say, the trials will cease when they accomplish their purpose. And I believe that's true. I believe God has a purpose and allowed things into our life. And when those things accomplish the purpose that God has for them, then they'll cease. And so you and I have a responsibility, I believe, to be receptive to the Word of God and just take heed to it. If God said that's how it is, and that's how it is, irregardless of whether we understand it or whether we don't. But under the shadow of His wings, you will find refuge. You'll find shelter from danger. You'll find protection in distress. When you get that phone call in the middle of the night that everybody dreads, you'll have some refuge to run to. Hey, I'm telling you, if we didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have unsaved people make it. I understand why people really do some of the things they do. They have no hope. But I mean, I've been there. I've had to live with those phone calls. I've had to get up in the middle of the night and visit the hospital. I've had the same experience all you folks have had. But I have found a place of refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have that before I was saved. I had good friends that were close friends that died horrible deaths, and we didn't know. I mean, we just figured, oh, well, that's the end of that. We didn't have any hope. We didn't have anything to look forward to. I remember a young lady that I went to high school with, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden this week she's been on my mind for some reason, and I just can't stop thinking about this young lady. But she was raised in a real nice home, like a lot of y'all, raised in a Christian home, raised good, real nice upbringing, had nice things. This young lady had never been in trouble, was a real good student. This young lady did everything that was required of her. I mean, she'd never been a bad person as we would look at it. And this young lady, when she turned 18, graduated high school, she decided for the first time she was just going to party and enjoy life like everybody else was. And all these stories she'd heard about how, you know, boy, we're just having so much fun out here doing all this devilment. And so she decided for her birthday and graduation she was going to celebrate. And this young lady had never tasted alcoholic beverage. And so she began to go to different bars and got 3/4 full of booze. Didn't seem like such a harmful thing. I mean, it happens all the time, doesn't it? But this young lady was different. And I don't know why she came to my mind. And I hope somebody isn't heading down the same path. Maybe that's why. But I know this. That young lady stepped out of an automobile intending to cross the highway and walk over to this beer joint, and not seeing it, stepped out from behind this automobile into the path of a car going about 80 miles an hour and went out into eternity. That quick. Gone. Life taken away. I don't understand all that, but I know this. Sin never leaves you any better than it finds you. And when something like that takes place, you have to deal with a family. I saw the family of that young lady. You need a place of refuge where you can hide from these distresses that come. And that place is under the shelter of His wings. Amen. That's where it's at. That's the place of comfort. That's the place of peace. That's the place where you want to be. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. If you are considering wandering away, if you think you can live in the world and live like the devil and get away with it, let me inform you, you won't. You look around at the broken homes and the broken heart. And I realize some of you are here tonight because you were made to come. You're about as interested in what I got to say as a dead dog laying out here in the aisle. But I also realize that God's got something for you. And if you'll pay attention, I may not be no eloquent speaker, but I've been at this for 31 years preaching the gospel. And I've learned a few things over the years. I've walked by a lot of caskets. I've seen them from that big to teenagers to 90 years old. I know what sin will do for you. I know what it'll do for your family. I know what it'll do. So why don't you take the advice of somebody that's been there, rather than just go on and make a mockery of God, the Word of God, mess your family up, break your parents' heart, just go on and live like the devil. You will not get away with it. Amen. Sin affects everybody else. Amen. Amen. What Saul did affected Saul's children. Jonathan lost his life. Mephibosheth wound up a cripple because of it, living like a dog in the back end of nowhere, when he could have been living like a prince, But because his granddaddy thought he could disobey God and get away with it, he was living like a dog. And you parents ought to take that to heart. Amen. I mean, we parents. I've got grandkids. I know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm not Adrian Rogers. I may not be able to have a vocabulary that you can just see what I'm saying. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. You need a place of refuge, and you'll find it under the shadow of his wings. You can learn to trust him. That's where you learn to trust him, under the shadow of his wings. In Psalm 36, the Bible says this. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. That's where you learn to trust him, under the shadow of his wings. Well, I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. 34 years I've been saved, and this thing has carried me this far. If I didn't have the Lord, I'd quit a long time ago. I mean, honestly, folks, I'm just being honest with you. I don't have a lot of support. I don't have a lot of people standing behind me saying, rah, rah, go get them. I mean, oftentimes my family don't even appreciate what I'm doing. But you know what? I made my mind up a long time ago. God didn't call my wife to preach. God didn't call my boys to preach, or my daughter. He didn't call my grandkids. He called me, and I'm going to preach the way God said it. And if they like it, good. And if they don't like it, that'll be even better. Amen. And my wife, she ain't here tonight. That's irrelevant. I preach that to her at the house. I mean, I don't roost on the end of the bed at night. I'm sorry. Amen. When God saved me, he left my backbone where it was at. Amen. So, under the shadow of his wings, you learn to trust him. You take this lady Ruth, who the Bible says was a virtuous woman. You ladies ought to read the book of Ruth, 4 chapters. You ought to take some instruction from Ruth. If she's a virtuous woman, and Proverbs 31 describes what she's like, you ought to strive to be like that. I mean, that's a virtuous woman. God said so. And she found grace. Ruth was a Gentile, a Moabite, and the Bible says a Moabite was not to enter into the congregation of the Lord to the 10th generation. She was an outcast. She didn't have anything really to look forward to, but because of Elimelech and Naomi leaving the land of Israel during a time of famine, they left the house of bread, Bethlehem, and they went down to sojourn in Moab, which is just a temporary stay, and they wound up staying 10 years. And the book begins with a funeral, and it ends with a wedding. Amen. Hey, right now, we're having to endure through some of that stuff. But one of these days, we're going to a wedding yonder in the sky. That's the way it's going to wind up. But I'm telling you, it's not down here. You're told to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. One of these days, you pardon me, I might run around this building and jump out the window in a minute. I'm going to a wedding where the Holy Ghost is going to just be involved, where the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be there as the bridegroom, where the bride has adorned herself in fine linen, and we're going to be joined to him forevermore. And I'm telling you, from that day forward, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more funerals, there'll be no more preaching. I'm telling you, we'll have us one more some kind of a time. Amen. Now, if you got something better, you tell me. I'd like to hear it. If you're a Buddhist tonight, tell me what's better than that. If you're a follower of them ragheads, Muhammad, what's better than that tonight? Amen? Amen. That's the way the book of Ruth starts out, with a funeral. It winds up with a wedding. And Ruth, who was an outcast, Moab is God's washpot according to the Bible. She winds up going back to the land of Israel, to the house of bread. Because God visited his people. I'm glad he does from time to time, aren't you? When we had that revival, I'm glad God decided to show up. I get tired of what I can do. I want to see what God can do. Brother, he can do plenty if we just get in line. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It's not blind, it has substance and it has evidence. Well, there's plenty of it in this book. But this Ruth, the Bible says this, when she met her kinsman redeemer, Boaz, who's a type of Christ, and Ruth, a Gentile, is a type of the church, and In Ruth, the Gentile blood is injected into the Messianic line, and she gets in line in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, that's quite a thing. And Boaz, when he saw her, he said this, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth made her mind up. You read chapter 1. If she had no husband, she was still going with Naomi. If she had to do without a husband, young woman made her mind up, if God doesn't see fit to give me a mate, I'll just do without. Yeah. How many of y'all are willing to do that? People all the time, "Well, I want to get married." I mean, you just got to get married. And they rush into something. They don't wait on God, and it turns out to be a big gom. Yeah. And then they blame God for it. Yeah. "Well, why did God let me get into this mess?" Well, maybe he told you not to. Maybe you just didn't listen. Some sea hag, you know. Oh, I'm only kidding. Don't get mad. I really love you. I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I'm just preaching. But Ruth came under the sheltering hand of the living God. I know something about that, do you? I mean, my God's alive tonight. I don't know about you, but I lived for 23 years as an unsaved man, and I tried everything this world had to offer, and I found no peace or rest for my soul till I rested in the bosom of Jesus Christ. And I got plugged into the best thing I ever got in on. That's why it don't strain me to stand on a street corner and brag on Him. I mean, people think we're crazy. Good. I think I'm crazy. Amen. I sit at my desk, I'd be reading the Bible before I go to work. Honestly, I do it on a regular basis. All of my neighbors think I'm crazy. Is that right? My neighbor told that man right there that I was a nut. Amen. He's right. Well, I'll be sitting at my desk reading the Word of God, and God will do something and begin to move in me. And the Word of God is alive. And I'll sit there and I jump up and run out in the driveway and go, "Woo-hoo! Thank God." My neighbors out there, I'm seeing lights come on, people. And then after a while they quit, though. They know it's just me. They don't pay no attention. Man, it's real. I'm telling you, I'm not just talking preacher talk. This is real stuff. Salvation is a real deal. Honestly, I believe a lot of God's people, I don't know if they ever got plugged in or not. I don't know what happened. But brother, when God plugged me in, I never got unplugged. I've just been excited. I never get tired of talking about it. I can't preach without giving my testimony. I can't help myself. It just, something in me, it stirs my heart. Man, I'm thankful I'm saved. I was headed for a devil's hell, man. I was right on the brink. And God saved me. And I found that place of refuge. Ruth found it. Ruth found salvation. Ruth found safety. Ruth found security. She found satisfaction. She found sanctification. She found service. And got in the line of the Messiah. Why, man, you think about that. And whoever would have heard of Ruth had she not went on to Bethlehem? She'd have went back to her people like Oprah Winfrey did. I mean, you got Oprah in the story. Oprah Winfrey goes back to her people. You never hear of her again until she shows up on a talk show. Now, I'll take Ruth. You can have Oprah if you want her. But isn't it good to be saved, man? You find a place of refuge under the shadow of His wings. Isaiah 32 says this. Y'all pardon me. I'm just going to preach a while tonight. And I'll have to quit somewhere along the line because I got to go to the radio station. I preached down Lansing this morning. John called me. I just got up and drove down there and walked right in, went in the pulpit, went to preaching. But I like it. I mean, you can preach just like you do out in the street then, man. You can just rear back and let her rip and shoot everything all to pieces and then leave. What a blessing. Isaiah 32, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." I realize the context, but notice, "A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." You need some comfort tonight, I tell you where to find it. You need some peace, you need some help, I can tell you where to find it. Really, if you're not saved, I can tell you where you can get in at. Hey, I'm serious, man. I'm looking out here at people I've had the privilege of preaching to and see them come to Christ. Why, man, you talk about a blessing. And I've watched them grow up in the Lord. Why, you pardon me, but that made it all worthwhile right there. I mean, Sister Bonnie's with the Lord now. And I'll tell you this, her daughter was saved at my kitchen table. A lot of folks don't realize that. Her daughter was 16 years old, and I was sitting at my house one night, and a knock came on the door, and I opened the door, and here was this 16-year-old daughter and my nephew, and he'd been witnessing to her, and she was wanting to get saved, and he didn't know what to tell her. She came in, sat down at my kitchen table, and I took this old black back book and led her to the Lord, and she bowed her head and got saved right at my kitchen table. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's worth it all. Amen. Salvation makes all the difference. Are you saved tonight? If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Or do you even care? I mean, some folks don't really give a hoot. I mean, I've had them tell me that. I don't care. I don't care. I told him fell out at work. Well, he don't work there anymore. But that guy, he said, oh, well, I don't care. I'm just going to go drink and do whatever I want to do, and whatever happens will happen. Well, I told him what will happen. And if it happens, then he's been warned. But I'm glad I found a place of refuge. And this place of refuge will put a song in your heart. Do you know a person sings about what they love? Isn't that the truth? And we have a lot of folks in this church that can play music and sing and have a lot of talent. I personally appreciate that. I can't sing a lick. I have no musical ability whatsoever. These guys that can play instruments and these gals, and they get up here and play, and you got different ones that sing from time to time. I appreciate that. I really do. It's a blessing to me. These kids tonight, man, that make you want to run around the building. I mean, honestly, I appreciate it. I have no musical ability at all. I can't sing a lick. I get out here at work and I sing. I go up and down the line singing. I can't sing. Guys laugh at me all the time, but I don't care. Man, if you love somebody or love something, you sing, don't you? I mean, you sing about what you love. Now, you can tell a sensual man by his music. What he's going to listen to is going to be something that pumps up the flesh. Makes you want to jerk and shake like you got electricity running through you and shake your booty, you know. But really, you can tell a sensual man by his music. That's what he wants to listen to, that fleshy, you know, stuff. Get you thinking about stuff you ain't got no business thinking about. I did something one time as a survey. I'll get to this in a minute. I was driving a Trans Am I had, and I got on the interstate, and I put a CD in that was some of this Beethoven, Bach kind of stuff. And I'm serious. For miles, I'm just driving the speed limit, just cruising, just listening, just kind of laid back, honestly. And I thought, well, I'm going to try the other side of this thing. So I put some Lynyrd Skynyrd on, turned on the radio, and here's Lynyrd Skynyrd calling me the breeze. And I'm serious, man. I was doing about 120 before I even realized it. I mean, just the further, the faster. That gas pedal just kept going on down. You think music won't affect you? Well, I'm telling you, it'll affect you. When these boys decide they want to get with these girls or vice versa, I don't know how it goes nowadays, they'll try to get music to set the mood. And sure they do. They're not going to put on the old rugged cross if they're wanting to make out with a girl. That ain't going to happen. Amen. No, sir. I mean, that's how it works. But you sing about what you love. Isn't that true? Amen. If you love the Lord, you're going to get up here and sing about it. Not necessarily up here, but you'll sing about it. Amen. I mean, the Bible says this in Psalm 57. If you love Him, you'll sing about it. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. David said, I'm just going to praise God. Amen. I mean, he's running for his life. He's hiding out in a cave. The king is wanting to kill him. He wound up down in the enemy's camp acting like he was a madman, spit running down, scratching on the wall, and pretending to have lost his mind. Yeah. I mean, and this guy was right. He had already been anointed to be the king of Israel. And he's running for his life. You may be right as rain, and you may be in the middle of a big mess. Amen. Well, the trials come. Yes, sir. I'll give you one reason why, maybe two or three, why God allows things to happen to people that are doing right. Now, there are a lot of things that happen that we blame God for that I don't believe He's got anything to do with. Yeah. Flat tires, and, you know, the dryer breaks, and the water heater busts, and Man, that's just life. I mean, you have stuff like that kind of stuff just happens to everybody. I mean, that's we blame, oh, the devil's after me, you know. I had a flat tire going to work. The devil's after me. I don't believe that. I believe you probably just got wore out tires. You like me, you run them till you can see the air in them. But there are reasons why God will allow you to suffer as a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now, that's not the message tonight, so I won't go. I've got about 9 more reasons why God allows people to suffer. But God will allow you to suffer so when you've been through things and you see somebody else going through it, you can go to them and put your arm around them and say, "I know how you feel. I've been there. I appreciate it, and I'm praying for you that God will help you." And you can be a help to them. Amen. That's one of the reasons why God will allow you to go through things. And it's not always pleasant either. I'll tell you it's not. But when the end result is God is making you more like Jesus Christ, He's knocking all the rough edges off of you to make you something that'll glorify Him. So the thing to do is just be submissive. Put a song in your heart. D.L. Moody was criticized for using livelier music in his crusades. And D.L. Moody said this, "Is the devil to have all the good tunes?" Well, I mean, really. Can we not enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really, they get up here and get to singing about the blood. Yeah. It's all I can do to set over. I mean, here a while back, Sister Robin sang here one Sunday morning that "How Great Thou Art." Amen. And I, honestly, if I could have got up, I'd have run around the building, but I was just smitten. I lost all strength in my knees. I couldn't get up. I wanted to run. I couldn't get out of my seat. Man, you talk about something that'll move you. Yeah. Boy, that's real stuff there. Singing. God will put a song in your heart. Do you have a song to sing tonight, or do you sing the stuff of the world? I don't know. I'm not against, you folks know me, I'm not against football or any of that stuff. I mean, really. I'm not against social activities. I mean, I watch football. I watched Alabama beat the fire out of Mississippi State. Yes, Roll Tide. I'll throw that in. I think Tennessee lost, didn't he? I told you they should have had them pellet guns. The cheerleaders should have had pellet guns. They may, you know, maybe they, well, enough of that, huh? Quit preaching condemnation. But you'd be surprised how many people get mad over something like that, and somebody can take Jesus Christ's name in vain, and they just, oh, well, you know. And I think about it, and here's the one that died for me and took my sin in his body, a sinless man in my place. And them handling his name that way, it ought to upset me. Amen. It ought to get a rise out of me. It ought to cause me to want to say, "Hey, you know, that's my Savior you're talking about. Why don't you talk about somebody else?" Yeah. They know where the authority's at, whether you do or not. Yeah. You don't ever hear them say Buddha D blank blank. You don't ever hear that, or Muhammad blank you. You won't hear that. No, sir. They know the real authority. They'll say God. They'll always use God's name because that's the name above every name. They'll use the one with authority. Yeah. It's always the way these cursing, swearing, filthy talking rascals are. Yeah. I used to be one of them, I know. But when God saved me, He cleaned my mouth up too. Amen. Amen. He'll put a song in your heart. David said this, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You know, when people see your testimony, they're going to realize there's something real about this thing called salvation. When they see you, how you react in a situation, they're going to say, "Hey, there must be something to it." I mean, it'll affect them. But you and I were down in a horrible pit. I mean, and couldn't get out. We couldn't help ourselves. And a fellow named Alexander Campbell walked by. And we hollered and said, "Can you help us?"
And he said, repent, confess, believe, and be baptized. Well, I mean, that's stupid advice, wouldn't you say? You're down the horrible pit and can't get out. And then you had Barton Stone and Judge Russell and Judge Rutherford walk by, and they didn't have any advice. And then Joe Smith came by, and he said, well, you know, get you three or four wives. And I mean, what kind of advice could they really give you? You're down in a hole in the ground and you can't get out. You need help. And all the religious leaders parade by, and all the popes, and nobody offers any real help. They tell you to hold on or to turn loose or do something like that, but they don't offer any help. And then finally, this bloody, beaten figure of a man comes dragging by, and he's all beat and got a crown of thorns, and he's got blood running all off of him, and he's got stripes all over his body, and he looks like he's 3/4 of the way past dead. And he says, buddy, do you need help? And you say, buddy, if you can help me, I'm in this pit and I can't get out and I need some help. And about that time, he just jumps right down in there with you. And then he just lifts you right up out of there and sets your feet on a solid rock. Amen. Pardon me, but I might just run around this building. That is good preaching, folks. Jesus Christ went down where we were and took our sin, took our death. He took our hell, and he got up victorious from the grave. And thank God he lives forevermore. If that don't stir you up, you're past stirring, I'll tell you. And what we have is we have a lot of people that sit around with a face long enough to put a bridle on. They cross their arms. They look like they've swallowed a poker. They say, bless me if you can. You know, well, that preacher, he's too crude. He never been to an accredited school. Who is he to talk to me like that? I tell you who I am. I'm an old wicked sinner, saved by the grace of God, born again, washed in the blood. I've been reading that book for 34 years. Maybe I ain't the cat's meow, but I can read your mail any day of the week. Amen. I found a place of refuge. I ain't mad at you. I love you. I'm trying to help you tonight, honestly. You want a place of refuge? I tell you where it's at. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find it anywhere else. You will not find it in the bottom of a bottle of Bud. What don't make you wiser? I'm telling you from experience. Don't you try it. I started drinking when I was 16 years old. 12, I'm sorry. I started smoking dope when I was 16. I went in the Army at 18, and I've tried everything the world has to offer, and I mean everything. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, it'll destroy your life. I walked by the caskets of all of my close friends. None of them live to be 40. They're all in the ground. None of them live to be 40. And if I hadn't got saved, I'd been with them. Will you take the advice from somebody who tried it? Sin never leaves you any better than it finds you. But I tell you, the best thing you could do tonight would be to run to Calvary, get as fast as you can underneath them wings. And man, I mean, draw as close to God as you can draw, and I promise you, you'll never be sorry. And whatever God has in store for you, just have at it. I mean, enjoy it. Jesus Christ is our refuge. The Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Wasn't that something? Frances Havergal was a songwriter. The last day of her life, she asked her friend to read Isaiah chapter 42. That was her favorite chapter. And when her friend began to read, she got to verse 6. And it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee. And she stopped her. And she could just whisper. She was just about gone. And she whispered to her friend, called, held, kept. She said, I can go home on that. And gave up the ghost. Wasn't that the truth? I mean, that's the way it is for a believer. I mean, as sad as it is for those of us left behind, man, they just step out of this old frail body and step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And they're having them one more some kind of a time. Well, they're viewing what we're only reading about and guessing about. They're seeing it firsthand. I mean, really. You pardon me, but you could do a lot worse. Yeah. Well, I have to say this, the unsaved have no refuge. Now, well, this is the first point. I got two more. I'm glad this clock's up here. The unsaved have no refuge. David, the psalmist, cried, "No man cared for my soul. Refuge, fail me." Where will the unsaved wind up at? If you're not saved tonight, if you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, you don't have any place of refuge. I mean, I don't care what you try or how much you try it, you're not going to find any peace for your soul. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Amen. You can't find it in the world. The Bible declares, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the peace is. That's where you find the rest and the comfort. It's all in Him. That's the place of refuge. The unsaved doesn't have that. Somebody has said, he who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment but a fool forever. Wasn't that the truth? I mean, I'm 57 years old. Honestly, I'm an old geezer, and I like it. I mean, this gray stuff up here, I earned every one of them. I like it. Well, I'm getting closer to home every day. Honestly, I may walk out of here and fall over dead. If I do, don't worry about me. I'm up there. I promise you, I'm saved, I'm born again, I have no fear of what's coming. And brother, my wife would be better off, she'd get an insurance policy. But I mean, truthfully, I'm ready. If you're sitting here tonight and you can't say you're ready to meet God, I'm telling you, you better get out here and find out where you're at. If you're not sure, you better settle it before you leave. There is no other place of refuge other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's it. Where else are you going to go? You think about it. All the founders of this world's religions are dead and buried. He got up from the dead. Proves he's right. It proves everybody else is wrong. Jesus Christ is that place of refuge. The lost, the unsaved, the most forlorn word I believe I've ever heard is lost. Ephesians 2:12 says they're without God, they're without Christ, they're without hope. They're lost. Alone in this world. What a place to be. I've been there. But I remember back before I was saved how it was. We'd party every night, and if you asked me, was I having fun, I'd say, yeah, man. Boy, we had a party last night. Everybody was drunk, and old so-and-so got sick, and so-and-so passed out. And boy, we were just, yeah, man, we having us a party. But down deep inside in here where it's real, I was saying, no, I didn't enjoy it. No, I'm sick of living like a dog. I'm sick of that mess. I'm sick of the dope. I'm sick of the booze. I'm sick of going around bragging about things that a man ought to be ashamed of. I'm sick of it. And brother, my day run out. God began to convict me and deal with my heart. And God brought me through circumstances to a place to where He hemmed me in like He did Balaam between that narrow wall. And I couldn't turn this way and I couldn't turn that way. God will hem you in. I'm telling you, the best thing to do is run to God for mercy before the judgment falls. But God hemmed me in. And brother, I didn't have nowhere else to turn. And I remember as a 9-year-old boy when my brother shot my dad, I remember my dad dying and begging, pull me out of the fire, pull me out of the fire, somebody pull me out of the fire. I never forgot that. And I knew there was a hell, and I knew I was going there. And I knew I didn't want to go. And I began to cry for mercy. Brother, I wound up in an old-fashioned altar, and I cried to God for mercy, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, 34 years ago, I got a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I ain't ever got over it. And if you're dried up and you can't get excited, I feel sorry for you, but I'm not going to lay down and die just because somebody else did. But I'm saved, and I'm glad of it. I enjoy myself. I'm just glad to be saved. Amen. I've slept through 2 tornadoes. I don't care if they blow me away, brother. I'll go like Elijah. I'll go like a whirlwind up into heaven. Place of refuge. You'll also find a place of help. You need help tonight? I'll tell you where to find it. Whatever kind of help you need. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. What do you need? God's not bankrupt. His economy is running pretty good right now. He don't need nothing. He don't need you and me. He don't need anything we got. He allows us to get in on it, thank God. But I'm telling you, God has whatever you need tonight. You need comfort? He's got it for you. You need some strength? He's got it for you. You're going to need it in the morning. You fellas going to the job. You ladies going to the job. You're going to need it. If you teach school, you're going to need it. My good night. Forget that. I appreciate all these school teachers that are saved. Really, I do. I mean that with all of my heart. I was a substitute teacher one time, and I believe I'd just soon go to Afghanistan and run through there with I thank God for people that are saved, that love God, and are trying to do something to help these young people. They need help. Brother, a lot of them ain't going to get it at home. A lot of them don't even have a home to get it at. When their families are all busted up, you see, they run these things in the paper, you know, here's so-and-so won this award, and this is the child of Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and I thought, how's that possible? I mean, the homes are all busted up and broken up. I understand where all that's at. My dad died when I was 9. I had no dad. I raised myself. I got in a lot of trouble. I needed somebody to take me by the nape of the neck and just kick me in the behind and straighten me out. And I got in the Army. They did it. And it straightened me out. Now, you find help. You need help tonight? I tell you where to find it. Psalm 63:7 says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. It leads to joy. You got joy tonight? Really, are you happy? Do you have real joy? No, there's some things, at least three things that you need to be happy. Number one, you need somebody to love. If you're really going to have real joy, you need somebody to love. You really do. And it needs to be that somebody God has provided. That's number one. Secondly, you need something to do. The most miserable person in this world is somebody that don't have anything to do. You can't retire. I mean, Brother Ron back here, he retired from his job, but he ain't retired. He's still probably working harder now than he did before he retired. I mean, you got to have something to do or you'd be miserable. And thirdly, you need the ability to enjoy it. Isn't that the truth? I mean, really, you got somebody to love, you got something to do, and the ability to enjoy it, you're rich. Yeah. I don't care if you got any money or not. Amen. I told my wife many times, honey, one of these days we may have money, but we're already rich. I mean, really, my kids are healthy, my grandkids are healthy, my bills are paid. I can't hear, but other than that, I'm healthy. I mean, honestly, I apologize, but I can't hear. Y'all making these prayer requests, I have no idea what anybody's saying. I'm looking around. I don't even know who's talking. I'm trying to see whose mouth is moving. If there's more than one, I'm guessing it's probably him. I told Sister Angie out there I was doing this. I'm going to learn sign language or something. I can't hear. I mean, my hearing's gone. I've got a hearing aid in both ears. I can't hear. But I'm still happy. I don't let it get me down, man. Who cares? There's a lot of things I don't need to hear. Telephone ring at home, even if I hear it, I just walk on by. pretty convenient sometimes. But I mean, real joy, happiness depends on what happens, doesn't it? Boy, if I hit the lottery, I'll be happy. No. For how long? If you hit it, how long would you be happy? Not long. I mean, you check out the people that have hit it and see what the history of that thing. It's a mess. They ain't happy. I mean, you look around at all these, this cat was the Joker or something in that Batman movie, went off and killed himself, just a young guy. He just happy? No, he wasn't happy. Miserable. How many of them has that happened to over the years? Why, my land, these rock stars, how many of them have doped their way into eternity? They're not happy. They're living a miserable life. You want real joy, you want real happiness, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll bear you up. He'll guide you. Now, I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'm hurried up. I'm going to go ahead and close this thing out. I hope, really, I hope I've give you something that'll encourage you tonight. That's been my intention. I ain't mad at you, and I ain't trying to hurt your little feelings. But, I mean, truth's the truth, and I preach. I don't worry about it. But God called me to preach. I remember the old-time preachers and how they preached, and maybe I'm in the wrong generation. I don't know. But I don't intend to back up. I've been preaching like this for 31 years, and if you like me, I appreciate it. If you don't like me, I'm sorry, but I ain't going to stop preaching the way I preach just because you don't like it.
We get to the judgment seat. We'll see how it goes in, won't we? Preacher one time was out knocking on doors, and he knocked on this man's door, and the man said to him, "Well, come on in, I'll give you a drink." And the preacher said, "Well, don't you know who I am?" And the man looked at him and said, "Well, no, but if you can remember where you live, I'll take you home." Yeah, you get into that sometimes. But I mean, really, you need help sometimes. That man needed help. He just didn't know what kind. Help. Help, oh Lord. I've read that in the Psalms, haven't you? Have you ever been in a situation where all you can say is just help? I have. I've been there. I've got them phone calls in the middle of the night, and I just roll out of the bed and say, "Help!" God knows my heart. He knows what's going on. If you haven't been there, you will, I promise you. Those days come for us all. I want to say last of all, and I'll hurry with this one, not only under the shadow of His wings do you find refuge and do you find help, you also find truth. In Psalm 91, the Bible says this, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." His truth. You find truth. Nowadays, you're going to have to look for it. Last time I checked, there were something like 228 versions on the market. They ain't the Word of God. They come from a completely different set of manuscripts in your King James Bible. They're not the Word of God. If you want the truth nowadays, you're going to have to look for it. It ain't just going to jump out and jump in your head, but it's in that book. But you're going to have to get in there. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to search the Scriptures. You're going to have to memorize it. You're going to have to hide it in your heart. Well, that's what God told you to do. It don't just happen. But underneath His wings, He will teach you the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is still the best teacher of the book. He wrote it. He knows exactly how He intended it to be. You know that? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm about done, really and truly. You know the truth. The truth will make you free. Is that right? Murphy's Law says you know the truth. The truth will make you mad. That's probably more closely to it. But the truth will set you free, folks. It will. Truth has a funny way of getting shoveled under the rug. But you get under the shadow of His wings, and you'll find the truth, and it's more precious than gold. And that's all there is to it. The Word of God will set you free. Well, I'm going to go on with this and I'll be done. Henry Ford said this, "All the sense of integrity, honor, service that I have in my heart, I got from hearing the Bible read by a school teacher in the 3 years I was privileged to go to a little old-fashioned grammar school. The teacher read the Bible every morning to start the day right. I got a great deal out of that influence. I was brought up in the church. I belong to the church. I attend to the church. I never go to hear a sermon, whether it be by a preacher in a small church or a large one, that I do not get help. The truth of the Word of God prevails. It is the deathless book." Now, isn't that the truth? You come in here, you'll get the help you need if you come with ears to hear. A lot of folks come in here, they're not interested in what's going on. They're just trying to get through it and get out, and they've done their duty for the week. They're not really interested in what's coming out of this pulpit. I'm telling you, the best preaching that I've ever heard anywhere comes out of this pulpit. And I ain't just talking about a revival we just had. Our pastor is the finest preacher I've ever heard, bar none. And I don't say that just puff him up. He knows. I mean, I love the young man. He could be my son. Well, maybe not. I might need to be a little older. But honestly, I love him. I love him. I've seen him when I met him. He was a young man in high school. He wasn't even married or anything. He was playing football out here at Scott High. And I've watched that young man grow in grace and in knowledge. And I mean, I don't know of a finer pastor or preacher anywhere. I don't. And I when I come in here, whether I say anything or whether I don't, I always get help from the preaching. Amen. Always. And that's where it's at. You will get the help you need from the Word of God. You'll find truth, the Word of God. I believe this King James Bible is the Word of God, and I don't believe that because somebody told me I ought to believe that. I didn't read that in Dr. Smellfungus's 10 points on something. I'll tell you why I believe it. I believe this too. I believe the Holy Ghost reveals to everybody which book is the right book after you're saved. And I believe you got to defile your own conscience to go in a different direction. I really believe that. And I'll tell you why I believe that. When I was saved, I was attending a Southern Baptist church. And I ain't on that kick. I'm just telling you. In that church, the quarterly had four different translations of whatever passage you were studying that day. And then it had commentary by whoever. And so you read all that at home and the commentary. And then in the class, everybody in that class, and there must have been 20 people, had a different translation. And they'd all read that passage from their translation that we were studying. And I'm sitting there, and they're reading all this stuff. And to me, it was just like reading a Spider-Man comic book. Well, really, Spider-Man was a lot more interesting. I mean, he's climbing on the wall, and he's catching the bad guys, and they're fighting. And that was a lot more interesting to me than what they were reading. I mean, really, it was just like reading a comic book. And I had an old King James Bible they gave me when I was 9 years old after my daddy had died. I just kept it. I didn't really know why. I didn't know anything about it. I never read it. But after I got saved, I'd take that old book and I'd open it. And that thing was like a fire shut up in my bones. Boy, I'm telling you, it was alive. And the Holy Ghost just began to bear witness that that book is different from any other book you ever saw. And I thought, boy, there's something to it. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. But man, when I read that thing, it's just like something running through my veins. And I mean, boy, I can mount up with wings as eagle. I ain't kidding you, man. That thing was alive. And it ain't changed. 34 years, it ain't changed. And I've sat down and researched all these translations. I went and bought every translation on the market up here one time. They had them on sale paperback for 50 cents. And I compared them to the King James. And when I got done, I threw them on my wood stove and burned them. I don't need no extra garbage around my house. But that book is the book. That's the book of God. It's alive. It's the truth. Now, I don't know how much stock you put in that, but I don't start a day without reading that book. I wouldn't start a day without reading that book. There's too much out there. You're liable to go to work in the morning and meet something in the middle of a wreck out here on the highway. I'm not going out here without having myself pumped full of the Word of God. You'll find the truth under the shadow of His wings. One of the congregation asked a colored preacher one time why he didn't preach on chicken stealing. And he said, well, every time I do, it seems to throw a chill over the congregation. You get that in a minute. All right, would you bow your heads? Now, this is the invitation. If you need to come to this altar, then come. If you need to do business with God, you do that. If you need some help, we'll be glad to help you. We'll pray with you. If you're here and you're not saved, I'd be glad to take a Bible, one of these other fellas, and lead you to Jesus Christ from the Word of God. That way there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. But if you have a need tonight, if you need help, if you need comfort, I don't know what you may have need of. I don't know what God may have said to you, but whatever it was, you respond during this invitation. Now, Father, I come to you again. I ask you to minister and move. I pray you'll continue to speak to hearts. If there's one here lost, I pray you'll draw them, deal with them. Don't let them have any rest or peace till they settle this matter with thee. Lord, I know from experience that under the shelter of your wings is where I found refuge. I found my help. I found my truth. I found my peace. God, I found it all in thee. And I pray tonight for somebody lacking these things, I pray, God, they'll come and they'll settle it with thee and get it right. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you now again for your many blessings. And Lord, I pray if there's any way you can, you'll come tonight. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand? If you have a need, you come, will you?
Mike Hewitt, would you dismiss us tonight, brother?